This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Not so bad.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The Labor Department told us this morning the employment picture for last month wasn't quite as bleak as economists thought. Payrolls lost about 20,000 jobs. The prediction had been for a loss of 80,000. The unemployment rate fell to 5%. Still, it is the fourth straight month of declines. But here's some other good news. U.S. factories saw demand for their products rebound in March after a two-month slump. A leading economics institute in Britain has found a new culprit to blame for the severity of the credit crunch: American bankruptcy laws. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The Institute for Economic and Social Research says America's bankruptcy laws are way too lax. The penalties for going bust are too lenient. The Institute says that in a bid to promote enterprise by removing the stigma of failure, the U.S. made it too easy for borrowers to walk away from their debts. That's led to both reckless borrowing and high rates of default. The Institute is critical of the non-recourse mortgage available in some states. This is where the borrower can wipe out their mortgage debt just by handing the property back to the bank. Institute Director Martin Wheel says the global economy is suffering as a result.
If the United States had bankruptcy laws more like other advanced countries, then the credit crunch probably would have been less acute and had fewer international implications.
He's calling for an international agreement to make bankruptcy more painful, especially in the U.S. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Fed is making another move to help battle the global credit crisis. It's boosting emergency reserves for U.S. banks, and it's coordinating efforts to make more cash available with the European Central Bank and the Swiss National Bank. The Dow is up 46 points to 13,056. The Nasdaq is flat at 2479, and the S&P 500 is up 5 points to 1415. In Asia today, the markets added 2% by the close. European shares are 1% higher. The housing meltdown apparently knows no boundaries. Even the fashionable Hamptons area of New York's Long Island is feeling the pinch. Home sales there reportedly dropped around 40% during the first quarter of this year. Though summer rentals are strong, and an increasing number of those renters are coming from abroad, Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
A summer spent near the Hamptons' endless white beaches doesn't come cheap. Franz Muster runs the Hamptons office of real estate firm Engel & Völkers.
I would say if you want to rent something decent in a good location, it starts from $80,000 to $150,000 to sometimes $200,000 a month.
But this year, the exchange rate has made renting cheaper for many foreigners. Judy Desiderio of Town & Country Real Estate suspected the Wall Street crowd might be economizing this year, so she advertised abroad and quadrupled her foreign business. She says her international clients' expectations are just as high as Manhattanites.
They wanted 5,000 square feet, 4 or 5 bedrooms with a pool and a garage. Some actually came over with the demand that they needed staff in place at the house.
And who wanted a cook and a housekeeper? Who else but the Brits? In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by America's Family Physicians, offering patient-centered care so employees can better manage their health and employers better manage their costs. AAFP.org/value. And by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with patient groups, first responders, and physicians to save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. On the web at Medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
It's an important weekend for Hollywood executives, the start of summer movie season. The first big release is Iron Man. Going to the movies is not a cheap date, but it is cheaper than a lot of other entertainment options. Of course, with the slowing economy, that's something that's being talked a lot about in La La Land. No one knows that better than Mike Spire, executive editor at Variety.
Yeah, it's a very popular topic that people complain that the cost of movies is going up. But if you look at it, there is zero other choice in terms of entertainment that is as cheap as going to the movies. Now, what everyone's talking about pretty much is that they're wondering how this summer will compare to last summer when we had these huge sequels. You had Pirates of the Caribbean, you had Shrek, all these amazing franchises that always do well instantly. We don't have those. But at the same time, there are more choices, and we'll see what happens to the other movies.
And for new movies, you need actors. What's up with the the SAG negotiations?
It's getting pretty ugly, actually. It's not going the way that you'd think, having seen a writer's strike kind of debilitate the city. When the writers went on strike, they're writers. They like to put pen to paper, and they like to explain their issues and explain what's going on, and that's what they did. So the writers' leaders chose to battle this in the press, and so SAG could start to do that. Studios could start to do that now, but right now they have not, because they've said, let's be civil and let's talk for the first week.
And speaking of PR campaigns, you can't get away from this Miley Cyrus thing that just blew up this week.
Right.
$1 billion moneymaker for Disney. How do you think this is going to play out?
Well, it is kind of hacky to say this, but the old adage that there is no bad publicity is perfectly suited for this. I mean, what is it that she did exactly? I mean, maybe you can argue that the magazine, Vanity Fair, should have, you know, let's keep an eye on them, young man. I mean, maybe wrap their knuckles for treating a 15-year-old like an adult. But as for what this will, quote unquote, do for her career, she posed for a magazine and it brought attention to her show, her. Her name is out among that many more millions of people know who she is now. And I cannot imagine that hurting her life as she gets older in her career. And she's trying to transition from the Hannah Montana brand to other features. So this probably wasn't a direct cause and effect of that. But what's the worst that can happen is that everyone in the world knows who she is.
Mike Spire is executive editor at Variety. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Pleasure.
You can get the Morning Report podcast at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.